This is a test. 1, 2, 3.
I'm going to pull the door closed over here.
We have a bill.
Matt Klein?
Yeah, it's a veteran. Most incredible veteran. He wants to come. So he's going to find you. He's like, he said he's going to find you. I said, I'll see him in a few minutes.
Okay. Now ready? Call the Committee on Employee Benefits Program to order and ask Council to call the roll.
Thank you. Senators Dever.
Here.
Kilzer.
Here.
Krebsbaugh. O'Connell.
Aye.
Pullman.
Here.
Triplett.
Here.
Representatives Vigasa.
Here.
Boehning.
Here.
Robin.
Here.
Doctor.
Here.
Hake.
Here.
Lauser.
Here.
And Onstead. Mr. Chairman, we do have a quorum this morning.
Thank you. Thank you all for making a special trip to be here this morning. You may have thought we were calling things to order at noon, but here we are. Consideration of the minutes of the December 2nd meeting. Would you like the council to read them or? Okay.
Second.
We have a motion to approve the minutes of December 2nd. A second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried. Comments by the chairman. I'd just like to remind everybody that the work of employee benefits continues through the session, and as bills come up and need consideration, we will need to meet for those. And I'd like to, at the end of this meeting, kind of take a look through the powers and duties of the committee again, just to refresh our memories on some of those things. So, and some of those meetings may come up on short notice. So with that, committee consideration receipt of technical comments on bill draft number 403. See the sponsor here. I don't know if he. Well, now I do. Do you have a copy for Representative Casper?
Yeah, there should be an extra.
Jim. Go ahead when you're ready, Barb.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Good morning. My name is Barb Collins. I'm the Executive Director of the North Dakota Public Employees Retirement System. This bill was submitted for your consideration at the last meeting. Based on your direction, we sent the bill to our health insurance consultant, which is Deloitte Consulting Firm. And as you may recall, what this bill provides is the authority for the public employees, or the PERS board, to establish a preferred provider network in North Dakota. And what is the significance of a network is that every carrier, for example, in North Dakota goes out and negotiates prices with the health care providers that they will pay. And then it's based on those fee schedules, you call it, that the provider is paid. Now, in the case of PERS, back in the 1990s, we went out and negotiated a discount off of the Blue Cross Blue Shield rates of 5% with health care providers. It took us quite a few years to go through that, but after about 5 or 6 years, we ended up having what we call the preferred provider organization. And we get about a 5% right now. It's off of on the non-institutional side services. At that time, given the authority we had, those discounts are tied to our existing carrier, Blue Cross Blue Shield, because it's 5% off of the Blue Cross Blue Shield rates. One of the things this would do is it would allow us to make those discounts generic in the sense that they would be 5% off of any of our carriers' rates. That makes that pretty much portable. And right now, with it being limited, it does provide an additional advantage to our existing carrier making it harder for other carriers to compete when we go out to bid. And we're out to bid today, for example, and we did get a couple of bids, but we had some people who have indicated they didn't bid because it's hard for them to compete against some of those discounts. Well, we were able to say our network is portable to you, it would help with that. And so this bill provides us the authority to be able to do that. One thing the bill also does is that it restricts us to us. In other words, we can't take our network and turn around like some people do and sell their network to other people. Where they don't sell them. What they do is they rent them to others, or, you know, license them, maybe is the better word. This restricts and says that to the extent we have it, it's just us, period. So Deloitte looked at the bill. You'll see in their review here that they incidentally have helped us with this bid, they helped us several years ago with another bid. As they point out, this would be positive in the bidding process, probably make the plan more attractive to other carriers, which might draw into us additional competition on the plan, and to the extent there's additional competition for the plan, that that could be helpful in the overall placement of the plan. So as you see the review from Deloitte, that's overall positive in that same respect. And so, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, that's kind of an overview of the bill and the highlight of the technical comments from Deloitte. And it's, oh, incidentally, our board met yesterday, and they also took a look at the bill, and they believe it would be a good idea for us as well.
Senator Kilzer.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman and Sparb, do other states have a similar situation? I assume one of the main reasons that this can be successful is the volume. But I guess my question is, do other states, they probably don't have the volume, but do they have this 5% provider discount?
No, the 5% is actually kind of unique to North Dakota, but the concept isn't unique to North Dakota. For example, I think it's Utah. You know, they actually, they run their plan. They have their own provider contracts in place. Out there. There are other states that may have contracts in place as well. They may not be 5% off of rates. They may be more service-specific type of contract rates, but I don't think that this would be unique to North Dakota.
Mr. Chairman, on another topic, What is the penalty for out-of-service providers if the patient chooses to go outside of this provider network?
Right now, if they go outside of the Blue Cross Blue Shield network, so keep in mind, if they go outside our preferred provider network, the only penalty is we have what, and I don't want to call it a penalty. What we have in place in our plan design is that the deductible and coinsurance is a little bit lower if you go to a preferred provider, and it's a point of service decision. Right now we have almost all the providers in our PPO program, but if you elect to go to a non-PPO provider, you just have slightly higher deductibles and co-payments. But given the size of our network right now, it's pretty difficult. But if you go out of state, you're probably going to be outside of it. So most out-of-state procedures will be done at the non-PPO.
Other questions? So this just basically opens it up, makes it more competitive, and any fiscal impact would likely be positive.
Yes, I can't imagine that there'd be a negative impact. I mean, we may not be able to get all of these transferred, but that's not a negative impact to the plan.
Sure. Okay, I don't see any other questions. So thank you, Sparb.
Thank you.
Other interested persons? Anybody else want to speak to this bill? You know, I have a rule for myself on floor debates. If the issue is going your way, let it. So, Representative Casper, you are smart to not take the podium. Okay. Any committee discussion then? We should have a motion then in favor, not in favor of, to put a recommendation on the bill.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Triplett.
I will move a favorable recommendation to 15.0403.01000.
Okay. We have a motion and a second by Representative Lauzer. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, we'll ask council to call the roll.
Senators Kilzer.
Aye.
Krebsma O'Connell.
Aye.
Pullman.
Aye.
Triplett.
Aye.
Representatives Vigasa.
Yes.
Boehning.
Yes.
Robin.
Yes.
Doctor.
Yes.
Hake.
Aye.
Lauzer.
Yes.
Onstead. And Chairman Dever.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Motion's carried. So then, as I understand it, prior to its introduction, there should be a report attached to this,
yep,
this bill, so we can work that out with the sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Does anyone else have anything else we should discuss this morning? If not, I'd like to just pass out again. We've looked at this before. Powers and duties of the Employee Benefits Committee. And the reason I do this is because there are some provisions in here that require that before a bill is introduced, it's supposed to have a report, meaning an actuarial report, but the report comes from the Employee Benefits Committee. Also, during the process, if there are amendments considered to bills, they also are supposed to have a report. So, and it says in here before the committee considers those amendments, which could be a little bit awkward because they could have 100 different amendments offered, but they're only really serious about one. So with the committee's permission, I guess I'd like to take a little latitude with that, and rather than calling a committee meeting before we send amendments to the actuary and then another committee meeting when we get the report back from the actuary, if I could have your permission to just send it to the actuary and then call a meeting before it's forwarded. Are there any points that we should discuss on this, Jennifer?
I'm not sure I understand what you're asking.
Let's just look at which points we need to.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, the language relating to amendments, I think you'll find that on subsection 6. On your handout, it's at the bottom of the first page and rolls over.
Mm-hmm. As far as I'm aware, there are no bills being introduced at this point that we have not already considered as a bill. You know, that's not to say that there won't be any. And if there are, then we'll need to consider them and take jurisdiction over them prior and then send them to the actuary and then hear it again when it comes back from the actuary. But of the ones that we've considered, then it would just be an amendment. And that's primarily what I'm talking about. Yeah, under 6 it says, any amendment made during a legislative session to a legislative measure affecting a public employee's retirement program, public employee's health insurance program, or retiree health insurance program may not be considered by a standing committee unless it is accompanied by a report from employee benefits. Under 5, it says may not be introduced in either house unless it is accompanied by a report from the committee. And under five, it also says, "A majority of the members of the committee acting through the chairman has sole authority to determine whether any legislative measure affects a program." So I guess that's what I'm looking at when I'm asking your permission to make that determination. And then number seven is one that says, "Any legislation enacted in contravention of this section is invalid and of no force and effect, and any benefits provided under such legislation must be reduced to the level current prior to enactment." That's pretty harsh, and there's some question whether or not a previous legislature can bind a future legislature in that way, so there's some question about that. So I guess if we have that understanding, and if we're alert to that as these bills work their way through the process, and I expect that there will be some amendments offered to some of those bills, we will need to be prepared to deal with that. Also, it was interesting to me to read in the section of the code 5403 that pertains to the legislature that the same kind of process applies with WSI, that they have to do an actuarial consideration of bills that affect their fund, so that it's not like this stands in isolation. Anything else to come before the committee?
So, Mr. Chairman, do you need to have a motion on that, or?
Sure. Otherwise, I was going to say without objection, we'll.
Well, I just want to make sure that we got it on record somehow or whatever, so you don't get in trouble. I guess I would move that we'd give the chairman latitude to look at the amendments and send to the actuary. I don't know how else you want to word the language on that, but.
Sounds good to me. Jennifer will make it work. Is there a second?
Yep. Senator Coleman.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Then a roll call vote.
No, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Triplett.
Thank you. Just so I sort of understand what I think I hear you saying, and the maker of the motion also, that if there's a variety of amendments that maybe get put forward, that you would rely on the chairman of the committee or some kind of a straw vote from the committee to decide which ones are serious amendments, and then you would forward those as opposed to forwarding a whole slew of them. Is that kind of where you're coming from?
That's how I would envision it, and I think if there are multiple approaches to the same amendment. For example, in the actuarial report on the bill to go to defined contributions, they gave us numbers for multiple scenarios. Mm-hmm. So, I think they could do that. So.
Okay. Because I guess my concern would be just, speaking as a member of the minority party, that, if you just made a decision not to send a proposed amendment to the actuary, then it would, you would be essentially holding up like a pocket veto on any ability of a minority member even to bring an amendment forward for discussion in a committee. So, I don't perceive that to be your intention. I mean, I think you have a reputation of being fair and even-handed as a committee chairperson, but I just want to make it clear that so that I understand how you're thinking about this.
I hadn't thought about that possibility, but thank you for putting that in my mind. and you're right, Senator Triplett. As a practical matter, I think if a bill in a committee had an amendment that wasn't going to go forward, that's probably going to happen in the committee anyway. I wouldn't preclude the possibility.
I may continue. What is the "that" in that sentence? That's probably going to happen anyway. What did you? You mean that the amendment's not going to happen, or the actuarial analysis is not going
to
happen?
Likely to happen if it doesn't have majority support in the committee.
My point, I guess, is that sometimes the actuarial analysis may serve to change someone's mind about how they think about something. And so, that if it's just because it's being put forward by a member of the minority versus, whether it's
an idea worth considering in the abstract from a policy perspective. Do you see what I'm saying? The reason for putting these things to an actuary is because we're kind of all acknowledging that we don't have individually or even collectively the expertise to really understand the long-term implications of some of these issues. And so, you know, if you make decisions in advance of the actuarial analysis, then that could be an issue. So, I mean, I'm probably going to vote for this, for Representative Boehning's motion, but I guess I would just like you to be aware of those issues, and we'll see how it goes.
I appreciate that, Anna.
Okay.
And I think I try to be fair. And
I know that. Okay.
Representative Boehning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Would there be a way that the committee could recommend that we look at them? I mean, if we know there's going to be 10 amendments to a bill and they know they're only going to pass one amendment, is there a way the committee can sort that out before they get to you or to us? I mean, the committee knows what they want to do anyway, for the most part. It's just a matter of once, you know, I mean, maybe we need to have their recommendation of which amendments they want us to look at. If they have 10 amendments, we don't want the actuary to look at 10 amendments.
You know, my expectation is in the next 4 months there will be a lot of conversations about a lot of different things, and I'm sure that if members of this committee would like to, or if I would seek input from the committee, that we would bring that back to another committee meeting.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think
you know, the purpose of this committee, though, is to put the review or the report on the amendment. It's not to adopt the amendment.
Well, what, Mr. Chairman?
That's up to the committee.
Well, what I'm saying is, out of your committee, out of GVA, I mean, if you have the recommendation out of your committee, if you got 10 amendments to the bill, you're going to recommend one or two of the amendments, not all 10 of them, correct?
That would be the way I would handle it.
We don't want to send all 10 to the, I guess that would, the intent I would see coming out of the committees, mm-hmm. that they would put forward the amendments that they're going to look at, that they approve of before.
Yeah. And when this says, an amendment may not be considered by a standing committee unless it is accompanied, I'm going to interpret the words "may not be considered" to mean may not be adopted.
Well, they could come with recommendations.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Did you want a roll call vote?
I think that'd be best.
Okay. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll ask the council to call the roll. When she's ready.
Thank you.
Senator Dever.
Yes.
Kilzer.
Aye.
Krebsbaum. O'Connell.
No.
Pullman. Triplett.
Yes.
Representatives Vigasau.
Yes.
Boehning.
Yes.
Robin.
Yes.
Doctor.
Yes.
Hake.
Yes.
Lauser.
Yes.
Onstead. Mr. Chairman, the motion does carry.
Okay. On a nearly unanimous vote, the motion is carried. Know who your friends are. Is there any other business to come before the committee? Seeing none, the committee will stand adjourned without objection.
Okay.